Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We ultimately are trying to understand the right of privacy on social media as it contrasts with the right of a freedom of expression. And there was a fascinating case in Business Tech around a person who took a photo of, I think it was a baboon and a hedgehog that were in a cage, and it didn't look like they had any food or anything like that, and they had died. I think it was then ultimately posted to social media and then was taken to court because the name of the farmer was mentioned. And I think this is a fascinating case that gives us some sense of how to treat these issues. William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the program.
It's a great pleasure. It's a very, very confusing area as we become more dependent on social media, as we expect more from social media. How do we balance the rights of the individual in terms of privacy with the right of freedom of expression and, of course, public interest?
Yeah, you know, it's a very difficult thing because, of course, in many instances, it can come down to intention and public interest. So often we'll say to people, be very cautious about posting the details of anyone. You know, there's a process that nowadays we call it doxing, where you go and publish someone's home address, and you encourage people to go and protest outside, or to go and, you know, do things to their house, or to go and, you know, to phone them at all right. hours. That kind of thing constitutes harassment, and that's a gross invasion of the right to privacy.
Mm.
And in most instances, you'd say, well, that's not appropriate and that's not fair behavior. And in this particular case, what they'd done was they'd shown off these animals that had died, and the hunter and farmer, I think it was, had said that he was allowed to hunt and kill these animals. I think it was a baboon and a porcupine, and then they gave his personal details.
Mm.
And in the high court, they said actually this was an invasion of his right to privacy. And then in the Supreme Court, they said, no, actually, you didn't consider the right to freedom of expression. And then one of the key elements of that judgment was that issue of the public interest. So when you are doing something and revealing details and you can show that there's a clear public interest in doing so, then it sometimes can then balance against the right to privacy, because as a default, you should have that right, even though what the information that much of the time you post is available to the public.
The problem is that I can decide that it's very, very important that people know that you, I don't know, do A, B, C, or D because you're somebody who speaks on radio, and I think that it's very important that the public now know about it. That is a very, very, amorphous kind of definition, saying that it is within people's interests. How do we even determine that?
You know, so frequently these kinds of balances used to be done largely by journalists. You know, that's the kind of thing that have to weigh up all the time.
Mm.
If we tell these, if we reveal these details, if we say this is the person, you know, do we have a justified thing? It may be defamatory, but it's not true, or at least that you believe it to be true, and you've got some evidence and public interest to support it, then you will probably be okay. And I guess what this shift is moving to is that now anyone, because you're on social media and you post those things, you're going to need to effectively carry out that test on your own before you go ahead and publish that. So if you saw me as William Bird going and attacking or insulting a journalist, saying, hey, you're not allowed to take pictures of whatever was going on, and you video that and broadcast that, you could probably say, well, yes, you know, William Bames is a freedom of expression activist, but here I saw him, you know, censoring a journalist. You'd probably get away with, you know, exposing that. But if you just saw me doing something else, you know, working in the garden or doing something else, then you'd probably be violating my right to privacy. So it is going to be context-bound and usually on a case-to-case basis, which is why I guess on a general principle level, what you have to do is say, do we need to reveal the person's details? Do I have a good enough or sufficient reason to want to do this? And I guess with social media, the tricky thing is that usually it's spurned by anger and outrage. And you want to go, oh, this is outrageous and this is ridiculous. We must show this. So if you remember, a couple of years ago, one of our former deputy ministers was filmed in a nightclub assaulting a woman. Now that obviously, you know, it was after hours, not in work time and whatever, but this is a public official who was assaulting a woman. So there his right to privacy, even though it was in a nightclub where he wouldn't, you know, admittedly it's public, but he wouldn't expect those kinds of his normal actions of him having a drink or whatever, it being shown, there you can say, well, look here, this is a public official, it's, you know, we've got a material interest in exposing this and showing that it was assaulting a woman. And that's, you know, given our levels of gender-based violence, et cetera, you could easily justify that. So I think that people are going to have to say, we don't have a sufficient justification for doing this, given that it is an intrusion into the right to privacy.
It's so interesting because there's also the legal side of it, surely, where to name, I know that from a journalist's perspective, you can't necessarily name somebody before they've appeared before a court.
So, I mean, it depends on, and again, you know, there's so many shades of gray. It depends on if it's a criminal matter and what kind of criminal matter it is. And, you know, at the moment, can name someone if they've been arrested for, unless they're a child, you can name them.
If they've been arrested, someone, right.
Unless it's for, currently unless it's for a sexual offence, and even that is, I think, is potentially unconstitutional. But if you're an ordinary citizen and you're seeing something that constitutes criminal activity, so you'll find that a lot of WhatsApp groups, neighbourhood WhatsApp groups, you know, they had a tendency initially of saying, oh, we've seen this suspicious person wandering around the neighborhood, and here's a picture, and if you see them, well, these people were arrested, committing these acts. Showing them and choosing to block their faces is probably the best thing to do, because you may not, you know, that person may have just been walking by arbitrarily and been arrested, and now you've effectively accused them of being a criminal. So you'll see that a lot of the time now, those groups have particular rules that say, if you are going to do this, you know, we make sure that we can't show the person's face, so that you know, we can't be accused of violating someone's rights to dignity and privacy in that particular instance. So these things are becoming increasingly common and ethical dilemmas that almost every person is going to have to grapple with, unfortunately.
And it's very clear that it really is becoming part of our daily experience, where we do try and balance the two. What is interesting is that you say that even on sexual matters, it might be unconstitutional not to be allowed to name somebody.
Yeah, in fact, so that's a particular section of the Criminal Procedure Act, and its history, you know, was around the potential shame and embarrassment, ironically, around you know, a person being arrested for that for a sexual offence, not necessarily because of the seriousness of it. And so some of those things are potentially, you know, the hangovers, and we need to kind of get them addressed. So again, there you kind of balance the principle of open justice and accountability with, again, the person's rights to privacy. So I guess the thing is if you're an ordinary person and you want to avoid getting into legal wrangles, you have to just ask, is it necessary for me to show this? Am I doing this because I'm angry or upset? And if that's the case, sit down, put your phone down, have a nice cup of calming green tea or coffee or whatever's your poison.
Walk away from your computer. Back. Exactly.
Yeah, walk away.
Exactly.
You know, just put it down and come back when you're calm, and then ask the same question again before you potentially get yourself into a whole pile of trouble.
Absolutely. William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, talking to us about the right of privacy on social media in contrast with the right of freedom of expression.